Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live at our Sunday morning service, and the full recording can be found on our Facebook page, as well as our YouTube channel, both linked on our website. We continue our sermon series based on the Gospel of Matthew. Today the readings are taken from Exodus chapter 19, verse 2 to 8, and Matthew 10, verses 11 to 15. And James Hadell reflects on the obedient disciple.
In this passage, God has brought the nation Israel out of captivity in Egypt, and Moses has led them to Mount Sinai, the mountain where the presence of God was felt particularly. So Moses has brought the nation Israel to meet with God, essentially. After they set out from Rephidim, they entered the desert of Sinai, and Israel camped there in the desert in front of the mountain. Then Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain and said, "This is what you are to say to the descendants of Jacob, and what you are to tell the people of Israel. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt, and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites." So Moses went back and summoned the elders of the people and set before them all the words the Lord had commanded him to speak. The people all responded together, "We will do everything the Lord has said." So Moses brought the answer back to the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Matthew chapter 10, verses 1 to 15. In the previous chapter, Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel and healing every sickness and disease. But when he saw the people, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep without a shepherd. In our reading, Jesus sends out his 12 disciples. And when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. First, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother. James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother. Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, "Do not go into the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter a city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.' Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor copper in your money belts, nor bag for your journey, nor two tunics, nor sandals, nor staffs, for a worker is worthy of his food. Now whatever city or town you enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and stay there till you go out. And when you go into a household, greet it. If the household is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whoever will not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart from that house or city, shake off the dust from your feet. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. This is the word of the Lord.
Morning, everyone. Let's just pray before I get going. Lord God, would you take my words, would you make them your own, that we might know you better, and that we might this morning resolve to be that bit more obedient to the God who has made us and saved us. In Jesus' name, for your kingdom's sake. Amen. So this month in our Sunday morning series, we've been looking at the book of Matthew, specifically at what Matthew teaches us about discipleship and what it means for us to be disciples of Jesus. We began 3 weeks ago looking at purposeful relationship, discipleship, and then a couple of weeks ago we considered what Matthew teaches us about true discipleship. And this was just after the passing of Queen Elizabeth. And Nick particularly looked at how her life epitomized true discipleship. And then last week, Fabian looked at compassionate discipleship, and among other things, explained how being a disciple was, and is, a lot like being an apprentice, learning the master's ways and following his example. In particular, the example of reaching out to the most marginalized and rejected members of society, those often considered by the world to be lost causes beyond redemption. And this week it's my turn to think about the theme of obedient discipleship. As we look at this passage, Jesus gives his inner circle of 12 disciples very specific instructions to obey as they are sent out to proclaim to the lost sheep of Israel that the kingdom of God is near. Now, first of all, I just want to think about that word, obedience. What do you think of when you hear the word obedience? You might think of an obedient dog following its owner, or a child being obedient to a parent or teacher and just doing as they're told. One dictionary definition is that it's compliance with an order, request, or law, or submission to another's authority. And I found a slightly more rigorous psychological definition on Wikipedia. Obedience in human behavior is a form of social influence in which a person yields to explicit instructions or orders from an authority figure. Now, humans have in the past been shown to be obedient in the presence of perceived legitimate authority figures. In the 1960s, there was a psychologist called Stanley Milgram who carried out an experiment, a social experiment, and his purpose was to try to understand just how the Nazis during the Second World War were able to get ordinary people to take part in the mass murders of the Holocaust. And his experiment showed that obedience to authority was, at that time at least, the norm and not the exception. Milgram said that obedience is as basic an element in the structure of social life as one can point to. Some system of authority is a requirement of all communal living, and it is only the man dwelling in isolation who is not forced to respond through defiance or submission to the commands of others. Whatever image the word obedience conjures up in your mind, it isn't always interpreted as a positive thing, is it? At very best, it suggests an almost passive reaction, yielding to someone telling you what to do. But at worst, it's a cowardly act of falling into step with a bullying, even corrupt authority figure. Milgram's experiment was conducted more than half a century ago, and I think there probably has been some change since then. Whether it's explicitly taught or not, I think there is an increasingly prevalent idea that authority should be questioned and held responsible. When you look at some of the crimes against humanity and against the planet that have been and continue to be committed by governments and those in power, you can kind of understand why we've come to this understanding. For those of you that don't know, I'm a early years teacher myself. I work in a nursery currently, so I kind of filter all sorts of things through my understanding of child development. And in child development too, obedience isn't really considered to be something you necessarily want to see all the time in young children. I really like this quote from L.R. Nost, who I don't know much about her, but she's an author, activist, and general advocate for children's rights. And she says, "Instant obedience and mindless compliance are poor goals indeed when raising children. A thoughtfully questioning, passionately curious, and humorously resourceful child who wants to know why, who delights in inventing compromises, and who endlessly pushes the boundaries, tends to grow into a thoughtful, passionate, resourceful adult who will change the world rather than being changed by the world." So again, how does this affect what we consider to be obedience when we think of obedience to Christ? Well, basically, I think there's a profound difference between obedience to human authority and obedience to divine authority. And it's clearly not a passive yielding that God wants in us. Don't forget, this is the same Jesus who says in John 15, when talking about obeying his commands, he says, "I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you." That's from John 15, verse 15. Clearly, what we have in our reading from Matthew is entirely different to the connotations we have with obedience to human authority. Here, the instructions are being given by Jesus, God incarnate. And the response he's asking for is anything but passive and yielding. He's calling his disciples to bold and adventurous action. He's sending them out on a mission to bring good news to the people of Israel. And critically, he's not asking them to do anything that he has not already been doing himself in his ministry. The words they are to preach are the same as those of Jesus in Matthew 4, verse 17, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." The acts of healing listed in verse 8 cover practically all the types of Jesus' healing miracles that we see in Matthew chapters 8 and 9. And they echo Jesus' own description of his ministry in Matthew 11, verse 5, when he tells the disciples of John the Baptist to report back to John that the blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and good news is proclaimed to the poor. Jesus is asking his disciples to be obedient to what he's doing, to what he's been doing in his ministry, to the person he has shown himself to be, rather than simply the things he's telling them to do. Their mission is to be an extension of his, for which they're anointed with his authority. The word apostle means someone who is sent and who shares the authority of the one who sends them as his representative. And it appropriately only appears here in the Gospel of Matthew, and is thus used exclusively in reference to the 12 disciples of Jesus' inner circle. It's a formal title of office for those who are listed here. The disciples of Jesus are about to be sent on a mission in which they will extend the message and ministry of Jesus. To equip them to accomplish this mission, Jesus bestows on them the authority they need. Without that authority, there is to be no such mission. I'm not really talking very much about our passage from Exodus, but you see the same sort of image there. Before God gives Moses any instructions to pass on to the Israelites, he reminds them of what he's done, of how he's been with them ever since they left Egypt, and how he was with them in getting them out of Egypt in the first place. It's all in the context of that relationship. So perhaps what makes all the difference to our understanding of obedience here, as opposed to what that word makes us think of when we think of human authority figures, is the word discipleship. That's obedient discipleship. Obedience in the context of discipleship has a very different feel to it than obedience to figures of formal human authority. Discipleship, as Fabian said last week, is like an apprenticeship. So obedience in the context of that is not so much about following what Jesus tells you to do, but more about following his example, imitating his heart and the actions that flow from that heart. I really love what Richard shared, that Justin Welby said. I'd missed that in everything going on Monday, but the idea that Jesus wasn't so much telling us how to follow him, but just telling us who it is to follow, who we are to follow. I'm not going to spend much time this morning either looking at the particular instructions that the disciples are called to be obedient to. We could spend a long time picking that apart and how it applies to us today. And it would be very interesting and it would be very informative, but I don't believe that's the crux of what obedient discipleship is shown to be here. What this passage teaches us is that it is who we are obedient to, not what we're obedient to, that matters. It's the example of the person giving the instructions that is important today, not so much what he told his disciples to do back then. Those instructions were, of course, vitally important to the apostles for the specific task Jesus was giving them. And again, I'm not saying it would be a pointless task to look at those, the application of those specific instructions. But the deeper heart of this passage is that Jesus is asking his disciples to follow his example, to walk in his footsteps, to continue his mission with his authority. It's all about his apprentices being obedient to the heart of their master as he has revealed himself to them throughout their ministry together. It's about relationship with Jesus. And that's the application for us. It's about knowing our Saviour, understanding his priorities, being mindful of what pleases him and what grieves him, and responding to those around as if he were in our shoes. Because if we focus on those things, that is exactly where he is. The promise of his authority with his apostles is the promise of his presence with them. And we see the fulfillment of this promise at the very end of Matthew's gospel. This passage in Matthew 10 is like a foreshadowing of the Great Commission in Matthew 28, which Jesus concludes promising, "Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." When we think of obedience, we tend to see a faceless authority pointing at us and then pointing to where we should go or what we should do over there, away from them. The authority is always keeping us at arm's length and usually directing us to do something they are not actually doing themselves. And there's no sense of any kind of authority being given to those who are being told what to do. But this is not how it is with the call to be obedient to our Christ. Here we have a life-worn face of a compassionate friend holding out a hand, asking us to come and walk with him, and with him to change the world for the sake of his name and the creation that he so loves. We do not have a master who stretches out his arms to point and keep us at a distance. Instead, we have a friend who opened his arms wide in sacrifice, in welcome, and ultimately in love. So let us be true disciples, obedient to the compassionate heart of the Father who made us, the Son who saved us, and the Spirit who guides us. Amen.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website, www.stjamestaunton.co.uk, and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.